Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's good to see all of you at this special time of communion and the remembrance of the broken body and the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are a forgetful people, and there's many memorials and monuments been made over the years, over the centuries. Men instructed by God to build a monument of stone. There's many monuments in our land today to remember. There's an unbelievable amount of effort goes into, and they spare nothing in building a monument for something that needs to be remembered in a country. If you go to Washington, D.C., there's monuments of granite and limestone that are just there. They won't wear out soon. And tonight we have an ordinance of God that we want to observe here. As I was meditating and thinking and about this, there was a question that I had in my mind regarding the blood of Christ and the body of Christ, what those two mean. And I was praying all week about that the Lord would help me to understand the words in John chapter 6, where he said, "Except you eat of the blood or of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you." John chapter 6, it's been said there that was the pinnacle of his ministry in John chapter 6. And when he made that statement, there's almost everyone that followed him left him. And so it is today. When the truth is spoken, the crowds sometimes are either thinned or they're affected. When the truth is spoken to mankind today, some are offended, some leave, some get angry. The truth is definitely a stumbling block. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Except you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you have no life in you"? We sing a lot of songs about the blood of Jesus. We talk a lot about the blood, and praise God for the blood tonight. Praise God for the blood of Jesus tonight, the shed blood of Jesus for the sins of mankind. We read in the scriptures that there was a lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is come for the salvation of the whole world, whosoever will. We read how God gradually brought the reality of the salvation through Jesus Christ to mankind. It started way back with Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve. There was a lamb there for a person, a lamb for a man. And at the Passover, it was a lamb for a house. At the morning and evening sacrifice, it was a lamb for a nation. And at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, it was a lamb for the world, a lamb for the whole world tonight. I want to talk a little about the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. If you could turn your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 22, I want to read a few verses there. As I sought the Lord and asked Him for understanding, and I know that the message that I share tonight will by no way, by any means, exhaust the subject of the blood and the body of Christ. But I believe I gained a little insight this week through reading and studying and praying. I went to listened to a few messages, and from the Ephrata website, and I believe I have a better understanding of it than what I did, but by God's grace, I'd like to share that with you this evening, and may He anoint this time that we could hear and understand with our hearts. In Luke chapter 22, we read where we see here where Jesus, verse 1, we'll just start with there. We're going to skip through it here. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And if you go way back, the feast of the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread were one. They were to be observed at the same time. Verse 7 says, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And then we can go on down to number 13, verse 13 in Luke 22. And they went and found as He had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, He sat down in 12 and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. In other words, He's saying here, this is the last time that I am doing this. Jesus partook of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I don't know how many times in His life, but He said, this is the last time. This is the last time I'll be doing this. I won't do it again until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not eat of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He's saying it again. He's saying it again. This is the last time I'll be doing this. And He took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. And we'll stop reading there in Luke. I want to look at a few scriptures. I want to begin in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. In that chapter, it tells us there that for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So we have the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread that was observed through the centuries of the existence of the Israelites. But this was fulfilled. This was fulfilled. This is the feast of the Passover and unleavened bread is fulfilled in the salvation and Christian life of mankind. But also, we remember it as they remembered that feast in the ordinance of communion. And the bread we eat at communion represents the body of Christ. And the fruit of the vine that we drink represents and is fulfilled or is remembered in is symbolic, a remembrance of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. I would like to look a little or remember, if you want to remember with me, the Lamb of God. I love it has been a very faith-building and inspiring for me to look at the Passover lamb that was that each father was called to take out of the flock and set him aside for 4 days and inspect him those 4 days. And after the at the end of 4 days, he was, if he did not find any blemish in him, they were to use that lamb for the Passover feast. And Jesus Christ, how he came into Jerusalem, and he spoke and was examined and he was listened to, and people reasoned amongst themselves about who this man is and what, and if my math is right, if I'm reading it correctly, he was in Jerusalem for 4 days, being scrutinized by these people, and on the fourth day, Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Jesus is our Passover lamb, and the blood that the Israelites put on their doorpost is part of the remembrance of the feast of the Passover. That blood that was shed by the lamb that they slew at the Passover, they put it over their doorpost, and it kept the death angel from coming into their house, the destroyer. It saved them from the penalty of the Egyptians. Today, I see today that the blood of Jesus Christ is a symbol of the deliverance from the penalty of sin. And we can read much about the blood through the Passover feast and the blood of the lambs that was shed continually every year. We can read much about the blood in the New Testament, how there's remission of sins. There's remission of sins from by faith in Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for each of us. There's remission of sins, but I believe the blood, the ordinance of the wine is a remembrance of the forgiveness of sins of the blood of Christ. But the bread, what is the bread? What is the bread? What is the body of Jesus? That's kind of it. It has been kind of, you know, we know he took Isaiah 53 said that by his stripes we are healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. We remember his bruised body. But what is the bread really a remembrance of? And I was greatly inspired as I realized as I saw this more clearly to what the bread represents. And the bread was a fulfillment. The bread at communion the feast of unleavened bread was a type of the bread that we eat here at communion. The feast of unleavened bread. I'd like to look at that a little bit, and what that was. What God had in the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread, I believe, tonight is the blood deals with sins past, and the bread, the feast of unleavened bread dealt with the sin nature. It's one thing to be delivered from my past sins, but it's another thing to be delivered out of Egypt. To come out of Egypt. And if you turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 16, and I'd like to look at verse 1, 2, and 3 there. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. The bread tonight signifies our remembrance of being delivered out of Egypt. Now, there's an amazing truth that we find in these scriptures about the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Wherever God talks about eating the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, he also tells them how you, in this verse it says how you came out of Egypt with haste. You came out quickly. It's not something you did. It's something that I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt. And there's amazing truths in these scriptures that help us to see that we can, God wants to be our Savior. He wants to be our help. He wants to do for us. He wants to clean us up. He wants to bring us out of Egypt. And he wants to take Egypt out of us. If we turn now to Exodus chapter 13, there's another scripture there that deals with a deliverance from Egypt by the mighty hand of God. Exodus 13, we'll just start there in verse 6. 7 days. Exodus 13, verse 6. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. Neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. With a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And he wanted them to keep this ordinance, this memorial, remembrance, and tell the children how they were brought forth out of Egypt and how God brought them forth out with a mighty hand. It wasn't by the Egyptians' efforts that they were delivered out of Egypt. It was with God's hand. It was with God's mighty hand. And we need to remember that tonight, that God gets the glory for anything good in my life. God gets the glory for the convictions in my heart, for the power that he's given me over sin. So the blood deals with sins that are past. But his body was broken. And we're asked to partake, to eat of his body for sanctification. The body is talked about in Scripture, I believe, as in regards to sanctification, and the blood for forgiveness of sins. There's forgiveness for sins in the blood. But what about the life where those sins came from? Is what we see tonight in the, and it's very much we get a clear picture of a tree and the root. You know, we've all had in times past a rotten fruit on our tree, bearing rotten fruit, and we can long snip off that fruit But until we deal with the root, until we deal with the root, there is no victory over sin. And we celebrate this at communion. We celebrate both the forgiveness of sin and the provision that's been made for us to live for the Lord in the bread and the wine. God has provided everything for us. Verse 3 in Exodus 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." They were instructed to have their shoes on and be all ready to go, and no leavened bread. It's with haste. God is able. God is able tonight to deliver with a powerful hand. And it seems that if we only focus on the blood, only focus on sins that are past, you know, that's no different. That's no different than the Old Testament saint going to the temple and shedding the blood of a lamb. That spared him from the penalty of his sins. And tonight we have forgiveness from the penalty of our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. Through faith and repentance, we have people. There's many. There's many different views of communion, of what it is. And in reality, it is a remembrance of a full salvation, of not just forgiveness of sins, but of power to live for Jesus. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about a heart to serve Jesus, a heart that's turned toward God, a heart that desires to please God. That is the bread. The bread is a remembrance of that provision, of that gift that God's given us. And there's many views of what the blood and the cup and the bread is. Some believe that, as Brother Vince could tell us probably more in detail, what the Catholics really believe about that. It's called transubstantiation. Is that right? And they believe that when you based on Jesus' command, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. So that when you eat of the wafer and drink of the cup, you just partook of Jesus Christ. And it's error. And I remember in my background, I remember of seeing men stomp out their cigarettes outside the door on the day of communion. Or, you know, I don't remember that specifically, but I remember of much, you know, smoking and things going on that day. And then go in and partake of the cup, and that's why partaking of communion, when there's sin in my life, when there's unconfessed sin or sin that isn't dealt with, is just not right. It's just not right. It's like it's when we observe the cup of remembering the sins, the forgiveness of sins in the blood of Christ, and then of the bread, which is a memorial or an ordinance to that it's a celebration of coming out of Egypt, of God not only keeping the forgiving us our sins, but changing our nature, giving us a new nature. And I know we all have things we deal with. I know we all have things we struggle with, but there should be a you know I don't know what the right word is, because I know some people struggle at communion. Am I good enough? You know, am I good enough? But we need to remember that if your heart is turned to Jesus Christ tonight, if your heart is turned to Jesus, this is a good thing to do, to remember what He can yet do in my life. We can't wait till we're just where we need to be or where we want to be before we partake of communion. I don't think that's God's heart. But the blood of Jesus and the body, the broken body of Jesus, there's a fulfillment there of the Passover and of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. God has provided everything for us in Christ, and we need to believe and receive that. We need to believe that and receive it and experience it. Experience it in my life. God's heart is that we experience the power that He has for me. I would like to read a verse in 1 Peter 2:24. A familiar scripture there, 1 Peter 2:24. It says, His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. That we're dealing with a body. It's the blood deals with deliverance from the penalty of sin in the body of Jesus. And I don't know how this all works out exactly in the wording, but generally speaking, I believe the body of when it speaks of the body of Jesus, it deals with it's talking about sanctification and deliverance from evil passions and from lust and from sin. And who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. In Hebrews 10, verse 10. Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The body of Jesus Christ. Romans 7, verse 4. Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to Him who has raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The body of Christ, when we eat this bread, we're remembering the power of God that is able to deliver us out of Egypt and to take Egypt out of me, take the love of the world out of me. That's what I'm remembering when I eat this bread. And it's not just about the sins that were covered from the past. It's about the provision God has made for me to be holy in Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. I'm not talking about rising up today and trying to do better. Yes, that there's that desire, but we can't. We can't on our own. We can't on our own. We need to remember tonight what God has for me, what He's given to me so that I can do better, so that I can be more pleasing to Him, so that I can do His will, and so that I can see myself. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up. I'm sorry, Romans 6, verse 6 is what I meant to read. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And verse 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, knowing this, that our old man is crucified, that is talking about was crucified with Christ. Our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed. So it's only by faith in Christ tonight. It's only by believing that God sent his son to be, to die for me. It's believing and reckoning. That word reckon, it means to add it up, to think through it, and to make a determination based on what you're seeing in the scriptures. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. As Christ died, I died with Christ. And there's that bread is a remembrance of death. It is a remembrance of the death of Christ. It's a remembrance of when I eat that bread tonight, I believe it's right and good to just be willing. Say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to just go where you want me to go and do what you want me to do. Is there, and there's also a, the bread, I believe tonight speaks of sanctification. I don't know tonight where everyone is at in your heart and your mind regarding this communion, but it should be a celebration. I thought of the title tonight, a communion should be a celebration of a full salvation, not just half a salvation, not just oh, yes, something happened back there, but today you couldn't tell it. but a vibrant, it's a remembrance, it's a desire at least to have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, and that I'm living from, just as the branch lives from the vine, that I'm living from Jesus Christ. I'm eating of his flesh tonight. That was very disturbing to the people that heard that in his day. You know, today when the Jews talk about being delivered from Egypt, they still today, the devout Jews will say, they don't call them the Israelites. They say it was us, when God delivered us from Egypt. They talk about that in that way. And I don't know how you all feel about this, but I believe that a communion service could definitely be a time it could be an evangelistic service. It could be it could be a revival service. And for us to share with our children the dark night that we came out of, the dark night that God brought me out of Egypt. And I thought tonight I would, I did this once in Tyosa, and it seemed to be a blessing, just for our children to hear. Is there any of you that would like to just remember the day that God saved your soul? Remember the time, the dark night that God brought you out of Egypt. And if you would, in just a few minutes' time, just share a short testimony of how God delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son. Is there anyone that would like to do that? God told the Israelites to do it. He told them that, do it for your children. When your children ask, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And I'm not sure where it's at, where He told them what to tell them. And it came to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Why are you doing this, Papa? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. Is there anyone that would like to share a short testimony? Brother Martin here.
Yeah, just real quick, just a brief testimony how I was delivered from Egypt. I can remember the time that when I was great, I had a great burden and a heavy heart, and knew that I was a sinful person and didn't know where to turn. But then soon after that, I know the Lord started working in this community, and I remember one day when I couldn't take it no more, and I just stayed home and started listening to some messages throughout the day, started praying, and that day there seemed like nothing happened. So the next day, again, I stayed home, and I was home alone these 2 days, and I remember praying and on my knees seeking God for deliverance. I wanted out of Egypt. I wanted freedom, and it was several hours, and that afternoon, God spoke to my heart that I was delivered. And I always remember that up to that point, I had a filthy mouth. I cursed, and I said many dirty jokes. But I can say, I don't know from that point on. I don't know, because a month later, all of a sudden, I realized that that was all gone. And I think from that day, I think that was all gone. And I just remember that great deliverance, and I praise the Lord every day. I can go back to my little corner often, and when I walk through there, I think of that, how God delivered me in a certain corner of my living room, and it's precious. And He still wants to deliver you today, whoever has not been delivered. So just keep seeking.
Is there anyone else? We could have one more, maybe. Right here.
Sitting here tonight thinking back over my life when life was dark, life was uncertain, life was full of sin for me, and when I wanted deliverance, I believe that God set me free one morning when I was home by myself praying. But I do remember one night in specific where my brother came and prayed with me and helped me clear of some bondages in my own life. And I remember that very night calling out of the back of a minivan and noticing that heaven was more clear than it ever was before in my life, and that there was a certain weight that was gone from my life. And by the grace of God, I want to continue to live in that reality that Christ can still take me further today.
I don't want to take too much more time. I would just like to talk a little bit about the the ordinance of the communion supper, the Passover. You know, we see paintings of the Last Supper. And it seems that everything I've ever read about a meal or eating in the days of old, a meal represented a reconciliation between two people. And we read different instances, different places where there were two enemies and they came together and they had a meal together. And there was I believe from what I can understand, there was a meal was not a small thing. It took a long time to make a meal. And when a meal was made, you know, the meal with the father and the prodigal son, you know, there was a meal. And many other instances. And when the first bite was taken, the offense or that was between them, the whatever was a contention between them was supposed to be dropped forever. And I believe tonight when Jesus chose that setting for the Last Supper with his disciples. He chose a meal. And it's a meal. And the early Christians, I believe, observed this as a meal. The communion service was a meal. In fact, the German word is Abendmahl, which means evening meal. And the people of Paul's day understood what he meant when he said in Galatians chapter 6 that the people of with the fruits of the flesh, you know, the works of the flesh are these, you know, if anybody that's indulging in these things, with such one know not to eat. You can't be reconciled to that. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go eat with a sinner to share the gospel with him, but that means to have in communion with him in a way that you approve of his life, or you, you know, it's one thing to go eat with someone and share the love of Christ with them. It's another to have a sinner or someone who is not right with God to invite you, come on over. We're having, you know, and go and just be a partaker. Paul says, don't do that. And Jesus chose that. Jesus chose that setting with his disciples. And it was a meal of reconciliation and he said, this is the last time I'm doing this until the kingdom of God comes. And tonight, as we, another remembrance of when we partake of the bread and the cup is that God desires that we be reconciled to him, each one in this room, that we be reconciled to him. This cup and this bread won't reconcile you tonight, but God is able to do that. And this cup and this bread is a remembrance of the amazing grace of God tonight, where he wants to sit down with us and be reconciled. And I believe there's grace for those of you tonight who are struggling maybe with maybe feelings of condemnation. But if you can't look at your life and say that you have unconfessed sin, or that you're living in sin and in willful sin, God is pleased when you remember when you remember His great love in the shedding of His precious Son's blood, in the breaking of His body. God is pleased when you remember that. And there's, and with that state of heart and mind, there's victory. There's victory over sin. And the communion table has no place. The communion table has no room. It's not right I had once at a communion service, I had a brother ask me to go outside with him, and we went out and he confessed something to me. I don't even remember what it was, but I was just blessed with that, just with a desire, you know, to experience all that God has for me with the breaking of the powerful bands of sin, and God is able tonight. He's able, and as we partake of this communion service, let's do it reverently. Let's do it with joy. Let's celebrate the great love and the great mercy of God tonight, because there is no other path to victory than to come to God and let Him change me. So God bless you all.